Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is brought to us by All Shred Mobile Document Destruction and Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders and those who have points of view that represent greater worldviews to come on and discuss their points of view about what they hold to be reality and truth. And we were just talking before the show here moments ago about what the point and the attitude of this show is. And we're hoping to create a safe haven where people who might disagree, and if I'm doing my job, we can know with some certainty that there will be some people in the room who disagree on some level, because we can have an open, honest, truthful dialogue in a way that is respectful and kind, I suppose, depending on how you define the word kind. So with that in mind, today we have the pleasure of having, well, pleasure. We have the ponderous task of putting up with Jonathan Schweitzer.
Onerous, heavy, weighty.
The pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in Frederick. Hi,
hello.
Jonathan.
It's good to see you.
A relatively new papa.
Yes. Yes, my son was born at quarter till midnight Sunday night. My fourth son.
Now, as this show airs,
dark hair.
It goes back a couple of
9.5 pounds.
Back, but
yes, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Carolyn Evers, who is not in a leadership position with a church or any sort of a religious organization per se, but we've decided that the best ways to describe what Carolyn's title for the purpose of the show would be, visionary and locutionist. If that means something to you, good for you.
We're going to have to get a definition of that word, locutionist. Can we get a definition before we go
later.
Any farther? What does that mean?
We'll never get into the show if we get into that.
Oh, really? It'll take that long to define it?
Because you'll have an answer to it, I'm sure, that will require another answer.
Oh. Which is the point of the show, right?
Well, maybe we'll get.
How do you define locutionist?
Well, maybe we'll get to. I define it however the two of you decide.
Oh, that's
all
wrong.
Right. So the point of today's show is, and we're going to do two shows with Carolyn and Jonathan if he behaves himself.
Yeah.
And the two things we're going to tackle in these two shows, I think, are somewhat related. One is the idea of, they're all related to life after death issues. And in this show today, we're going to talk about reincarnation and having past lives and remembering those past lives. And in a related way, we're in the next show going to talk about speaking to those who have passed from this life and I guess haven't been reincarnated yet. Maybe we'll touch on that in this show. So this will be fascinating.
Should be,
this
yes.
is uncharted water for me. We haven't done a show anything like this before. So I want to start with Jonathan, because I'm hoping I'll get a quick answer on this.
Okay,
and
okay.
then we can move to Carolyn.
The answer is no.
All right.
Carolyn, go ahead.
What was the question you said no to first?
The question was, and I think his answer probably is no. The question was going to be, Jonathan, from a Christian pastor's point of view,
okay.
do you believe in reincarnation?
No.
Now, Carolyn, you, not from a Christian pastor's perspective, but from a personal experiential perspective, say that your answer to that is yes.
Yes, definitely.
And why do you say it's yes?
Growing up, I always was open to the thought, first of all, that it might be a possibility, though I can't say I had proof at any time. I read a lot of stories where people, since it was actually an interest, where people had either dreams or questions or strong feelings that something had happened in the past, and they went on a historical research to go back to the place and find if their memories and thoughts had indeed had fact in history. And I was always intrigued with that. I wanted to go beyond just the memory, but I had a couple things in mind. First of all, the memory. What does that memory accomplish to us in this lifetime?
I'm sorry, you mean when we have memories of past lifetimes?
Yes. What effect does it have on this lifetime? Okay. For me, it has been a great healing, and it has set the stage to help me understand who I am, the things that motivate me. And so in that respect, it has been a great healing process. Now, this first started talking to the other side and starting to remember lifetimes when my son died. And he was 16. He was he died in an accident, and so one day he's there, healthy. The next day he's gone. I mean, it was very sudden, and so it was a shock. And like most mothers and fathers, they're going to grieve over this. But I wanted to know if he was in a safe place. And it was a long process, maybe 2 years of so many things happening into my life that I realized I was communicating with this person that I believed was my son. I mean, we had extraordinary things happen. Things like when he was there, unknown lights would blink, things would fall off shelves until we got to the point where there was a lady who actually saw him and put my hand on his cheek, and when I felt this emotion pass between he and me, this love force, that was the beginning. I knew that it was possible to start remembering these things and starting to have an interface with it. These things went on for about 20 years. And so...
Now, did you believe in evolution before these things happened or no?
I was open to
it. What was your perspective? So you're open to the idea that there's ways to communicate with the other side, as it were.
Yeah, I was open to it, but it wasn't one of those things that I...
You weren't looking for it.
I wasn't looking for it.
Happened to you when your son
No, died. I'd had one small experience where my grandfather had died, and about a week after he died, I was lying down on the bed with my children. We had gone to sleep, and he called me out of the room. I heard his voice, went out into the room, into the hallway, and he said he just wanted to stop by and say hello before he left, make sure everybody was okay. And I was so stunned that this had happened. I said, "Yeah, we're all okay." And he said goodbye to me, and I thought, "My golly, here I had the horse's mouth, so to speak. I could find out what was it like on the other side. Where was he going? What was his experience?" And he was gone. I mean, my mouth was like open, as you can imagine, and he was gone. And that was the other thing that triggered my desire to know where we come from, where we go, what is this organizational thing and this life here and who we perceive as God.
Organizational thing.
Organizational thing, like you get up, you go to work, you know, life. It's all organized to a certain extent, our jobs, our profession.
So you're asking the big questions of life, why?
Yeah.
What's it all about?
Absolutely.
And you're saying in your pursuit of that, you found this way to communicate with the other side. You realized I would say we're of the opinion that it had happened to you in the past because of certain experiences. And so what motivated and moved you in that direction was desire to try to understand the big why of life.
Well, yes, but it was really triggered by the death of my son. I had become...
Yeah, that would be pretty hard. How did he die, by the way?
In an automobile accident.
Wow.
Like I said, one minute he's there, the next minute he's not.
I know a lady that claims that she can speak, or that her husband who has passed away, that she can interact with him.
I was just going to say, Jonathan, you know, Carolyn has this story, this personal experience that she can speak with her son. We'll talk. Maybe we're not going to be able to maybe easily divide the topics into two separate things. They do overlap. The idea of speaking to somebody who's passed to the other side and remembering past lives, and then she talked. And she's not alone. There are others who, like you just said, who say they can do the same.
Yeah.
And Carolyn said that she's gone back and done historical research to see if she could find anything that would show that what she's remembering from past lives or what those who have passed over to the other side are telling her can be seen in the annals of history. And she's saying that she's finding all of that. So to all of that, you know, what say you, to quote Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, yeah. The bottom line to me is, with all spirituality, is how do we determine what is beneficial and what is not? And it seems to me that, you know, even in your own testimony, that you talk to anybody of any religion, when they go to defend it, they're going to start saying, well, it's beneficial because, or because of this or because of that. And my perspective on all of this is that the Bible defines something as being beneficial if it reconnects us with God in the way that he has clarified through his son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, so that it puts our focus on God and not on other things. And according to the Bible, it is very easy and common for humans to be distracted by many things. Come on, we call it ADHD these days. We just can't get over this distraction. It seems to me the question is always, because I have people tell me all the time, well, John, it's so judgmental for you to say that one experience is okay and another one's not. And I'm like, well, the problem is that Hitler had a spiritual experience and his spiritual mentors claimed to be Buddhists, but it was clearly not a beneficial thing for him to be having whatever spiritual experiences he was having. And there's other people that are similar. So at some point we have to begin to discern and say, well, that's good and that's not. And my concern is that once you throw out your standard for measuring what can be, you know, valid and what's not valid, then you have no standard beyond I felt good. And all I know is that there are a lot of humans out there that can say just the right thing and make me feel really good, or do the right thing, make me feel really good, and they are not good for me. And so my question is, how do we define what's good or bad? My standard is Scripture. Scripture says that any interaction with the dead is automatically demonic, wrong, inappropriate, that you shouldn't do it. In fact, in the Old Testament, they were told to kill everyone that was a medium or a spiritist that had this kind of interaction with the dead.
So you're not doubting the experience?
Not at all, no.
Okay, but you're doubting...
In fact, in the Old Testament, we're told that
the goodness of the experience.
Yeah, we're told that King Saul interacted with Samuel after he had died. But the spiritist was afraid to help with it because she knew that the law of God had said that she should be killed if she engages in this kind of activity.
Okay,
so I'm not doubting that there's a valid experience going on. What I'm doubting is whether or not we as humanity have the tools to discern whether it's trustworthy or not.
So on the question, Carolyn, of how you know, and the people that you work with and that have similar experiences to you, how do you all as a body of people grapple with that idea of how do I know that this is a good thing?
I really don't grapple with that. In the very beginning, when I started receiving a lot of this information from the other side, I asked that question, and I judged it by something that Jesus had said, and I don't remember the words exactly, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, by their fruits you would know them. And that's how I looked at this whole thing. If I ever received anything or heard something that I didn't feel had the fruits of goodness and wisdom about it, then I would really start questioning it. But that hasn't been my experience.
Can I ask a quick question along those lines? Well, what is fruit?
Okay, I was just going to ask
the result.
Same question.
The result.
How do you determine whether the result is a good and wise result or not? What's the standard for that?
If something is positive in your life, you made...
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that say that it's positive when they meet up with, you know, a girl for a one-night stand, but I wouldn't say it's positive. You know, like define it a little bit
well,
more.
Well, because they're looking at it for a very short-term one-night period. I'm looking at this over a 20-year period. We go back to the very beginning of this string of experiences, and it's lasted over 20 years. Not only that, I feel like it has brought me very close to God. When you start to see and experience and have an interchange with the things that I have seen and experienced, it makes you feel very close to God and His works on this planet.
Could I ask a question about that?
Okay, but let me reset the stage real quickly.
Yep.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. The voice that will be asking a question in a second is that of Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel. And Carolyn Evers, who is did we really ever define locutionist?
We did not, no.
We did not.
We're leaving that out there. Yes.
And visionary.
It's a Catholic term. There are people who say they hear from the Blessed Mother or from Jesus, and the church approves of certain incidents of that. For instance, Fatima would be one, Lourdes would be another, where the church has said that they have explored this and they consider it a legitimate situation. And the visionary actually hears the voice of either the Blessed Mother or Jesus, and it is an inner hearing, and that's a Catholic term, locution. That would be the definition of it.
So you hear the inner voice. That's what the definition is.
Yes, and this is, I found this interesting because I was studying another course, and I found out how that works, actually. We don't really hear with our ear. The ear is an organ that collects the sound and sends the sound through a different series of operations to a place in the brain. And it is the brain, this place in the brain, that differentiates sound and put meaning to it. That is where I hear the voice, that spot in the brain. And I just found this out not too long ago. And I found, wow, that was kind of interesting.
You know, it's interesting because the introduction of praying to the saints and interacting with the saints, you know, interacting with Mary. Those are the sorts of things that drove in large measure the Protestant movement with Martin Luther, the Reformation movement, to break with the Catholic Church, because we were of the opinion Christ came to reconnect us with God so that we don't need to go through intermediaries. We can go straight to God. We don't have to deal with all this other stuff. We can go straight to Him. And when the Catholic Church reintroduced that, we are of the opinion that they, what they were doing was embracing pagan activity and activities that we find nowhere in Scripture are they encouraged or recommended, and it's only in the Catholic Church, a couple hundred years down the road, that they begin to say that this is an okay thing. And we're of the opinion that the timing of that was in conjunction with the church becoming corrupted and becoming more power hungry and more politically involved in those kinds of things.
Now, a moment ago, you said you had a question. Has that come out in this interchange?
No. Okay. The question was in reference to I'm not going to remember it right now.
Okay. That's good, because I have
Good
question.
Good. Yes. You always do.
Jonathan has a few times referred to, you don't find it in Scripture, and Scripture tells us, and that sort of a thing. And I'm assuming that you wouldn't take the same stand on the authority of Scripture, but you have talked about Jesus. I don't know if you talked about it before the show or in the show. I can't remember now. It's all blending together. But you were raised in a Roman Catholic setting, a church-going family. And you talked a moment ago about feeling more connected to God.
Yes.
So do you consider yourself now a Christian?
Oh, most definitely. I feel about the Bible that what actually was given in the Bible, that all of the books are not there. In other words, when you study history and you study the period of Constantine, for instance, how it was reorganized, you study the Gnostic period where there were a lot of the books of what was then considered this wealth of material that would be the Bible, you find that there are many books that was actually cut away and not in the final version.
Quite a few, in fact.
Yeah. And yeah. so there's...
And they're very passionate about that.
And so there's a big...
Without a doubt.
There's a big database that has not come down to us. Matter of fact, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were first discovered, I thought, aha, we're going to get back to some of these portions of the Bible that have been taken out. And we never really did, though they're putting them together and getting some idea of it.
Which is interesting, because this comes exactly back to the question that I was saying earlier.
What was that?
Is there a need or is there not a need for us to ask the question when these experiences happen, is this good or not? Is there a need for us to have some sort of a standard that says this is good and this is not good? And if so, how would we come to have that standard? Like, for example, Christianity in the Old Testament, the New Testament, they claim to be based in history. They've literally found Jericho. They found Sodom and Gomorrah burned to the ground. They found all the names. They found the House of David on ancient archaeological finds. You know, inscribed in the exploits of kings, and so Christianity claims to be based in history, that there are all these prophecies in the Old Testament that prophesied to the coming of Christ, prophecies that all of them came together at the same time, and then this body of instruction that give his teaching, and then, you know, a few books that were his direct disciples that by the leading of the Holy Spirit, then they spoke, you know, to establish the church. And so it claims to be based in history. We even say A.D., which is in the year of our Lord, you know, the reality of Christianity being grounded in history. And it carries with it this commitment that whatever happens spiritually, we're not just going to let it happen, even if it makes us feel good, even if it makes us feel closer to God. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to endeavor to discover whether it can be trusted or not, because we're just of the opinion that humanity has killed itself and destroyed itself over and over through the years. And we can't just accept whatever comes down the pike. We have to have some kind of a way of examining a spiritual experience and saying, you know what? I realize it's making people feel good, but it's not doing good in the long run. It's not really helping people come closer to Christ. In fact, a lot of Protestants would claim that, like the Grotto of Lourdes and these different Catholic places around the world where they see Mary or they see these different apparitions, that what has happened, and you see it all over the place, is that there's this fascination with Mary or this fascination with you know, one of the saints, and God is no longer getting the glory that he's due. You know, he longs to be in this love relationship with humanity, and what happens is we get distracted by these other gods, like the Israelites at the bottom of Mount Sinai. They put up this calf. God had just rescued them out of Egypt. They make this calf, you know, and in their celebration, all of a sudden, you know, they're being unfaithful to their God. And so the question that I still carry and that you seem to recommend is, how is it that we can just accept whatever spirituality that comes along? We have to have some kind of standard. Christianity claims that God himself has given us that standard in the laws and in the clear teaching of the Bible.
I suppose we're really talking about two things here. You're talking more about a standard that is acceptable to a culture, to civilization, a religious standard that the people should follow, a dogma. And I'm not really coming from that perspective. I'm coming from the perspective of what I have experienced in my own life. I'm not attempting to redefine what someone else should follow or feel. I went through that in the sense that I was educated, you know, in my faith, grew up in my faith, went to church every Sunday, did all the things that you were supposed to do. And then I have other things in my life that has happened that has pulled me by the arm and say, what is happening here? As I go through this, when I start talking to other people, it's amazing how things open up, because people will start telling you, they're not, maybe they're not telling their pastor, but they're telling you, oh, you see angels. You know, I see angels. They're telling me something's wrong with seeing angels, but I see angels.
Well, I have to take issue with that, because the Bible clearly has humans and angels interacting, and so that's not necessarily a wrong thing. Angels, according to the Bible, is very different from communicating with those that have died and passed, as in your term, over to the other side. And so I don't mind people seeing angels, communicating with angels. But I am of the opinion that the Bible thinks it's very evil to specifically communicate with the dead, and I'm not quite sure exactly why. I told you earlier, I've tried to think through the rationale behind that, the biblical logic, and I don't know that I've figured it out yet.
And I don't have an argument with that at all. I mean, that's fine, but I'll give you an example of one of the first.
Oh, you said words that make me nervous.
What's that?
An example is going to take more than 30 seconds.
Yes, do what you got to do.
So we will hold on to the example, make a note to yourself if you want, and we will talk about that example and more in this conversation in the next episode of the Frederick Faith Debate. Jonathan Schweitzer, Carolyn Evers, thank you for being on the show.
Great to have you here today.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to our sponsors, AllShred, Mobile Document Destruction, Shredding Today for Growth Tomorrow, and Footman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile? If you have a topic or a guest suggestion or a question you'd love us to tackle on the show, please email me at troyskinner@clearchannel.com. That's TROYSKINNER, all one word, at clearchannel, all one word, .com. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.